If you could go ahead and turn into your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We're only reading 2 verses. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. Our subject for today is building the church. Building the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is speaking about this church, the church that is gathered here today from various countries and representing different languages. Speaking of which, if there are anyone here who need translation, I think the young man in the back would need some translation. That would be very helpful. For those of you who are here for the first time, I want to welcome you, Ash, from New Zealand, and Ujin, okay, from Korea, and also Ms. Takahashi from Okayama. Thank you very much for visiting us today, and Kozo-san from Kagawa. Welcome to our church. Oh, and Stephanie, also from Germany. So praise the Lord. This is a Japanese church, and in the morning, there is a Japanese service. However, if you want to get a good picture or a snapshot of heaven, you can come to the International English Service, because in the world, before Jesus comes back again, churches are usually homogenous. The Japanese folks with the Japanese, the Germans with the Germans, the Americans with the Americans. But in heaven, John saw a picture where there was the throne room of heaven, and surrounding the throne were a number of people that could not be numbered, and they were representing every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every language in the world to praise and worship and give honor to God. And that's what we are here. We're here from not every language and every tribe and every tongue, but we've got a few represented. And just praise God. And that's what Paul is talking about in this chapter, chapter 2, talking about foreigners as well as native-born Israelites. But he says, when you come to the church, there is no more alien, there's no more foreigner, there's no more gaikokujin, there's no more Gentile or Jew. There is just the church of the living God. And we're going to pick up at verse 21 and just read a couple of verses. Let's go back to verse 19. We're going to start at verse 19 and go to 22. So let's go ahead and read together. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Before we go into today's scripture, wanted to remind you about the church's scripture for this year. Speaking to our head pastor, Hiroshi, about what he'll be teaching this year. In 2010, he mentioned the scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, which says, David built an altar to the Lord. And basically saying that this year, since this church is going to pay off the loan that it has had over the past 10 or so years, in my opinion, I think, oh, we're finally paying off the loan. Let's save some money now. But Hiroshi was thinking, No, no, no. We want to build. We want to grow. We want to get more loans. So we want to continue to grow. And that's what his emphasis is. And so he's chosen to do a word study of the Bible, particularly the word build. And he's taking his cue from this scripture. And he says that in the scriptures, build is actually a very important word. And that's something I never thought about. And so that's why in today's scripture, we're looking at building the church. And wanted to remind you, in his last sermon, he talked about building an altar. Building an altar, just that an altar is a place of worship, a place where people meet God. Altar in Japanese, saidan, right? Also, you can say butsudan is an altar. In a Japanese house, for those of you who are familiar, there is a place in the house which is an altar to a god or an ancestor, and it is the altar in that house for the family, and that's where the family can pay their respect to an ancestor or to a god, and that is their butsudan. And but that's not something they build. Japanese people buy it. They buy the altar. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, people worshipped God and paid their respect to the Lord by building an altar made of stones. They put just a bunch of stones together, and on that they would give their offering of their work or their animals, and they would offer them to God, and they would worship God by building that altar, just as you see here in the scripture. And then if God was pleased with that altar and that worship, God would meet them at that altar. And then at one point they built a big temple in the city of Jerusalem, a magnificent, large, not just temple, but temple complex with courtyards and everything that goes in there. And it's a magnificent building. They dedicated that to the Lord. And that's where the God of the universe chose to put his presence upon the earth, was the temple in Jerusalem. And in the middle of that temple, there was the altar, the seat, the box, the Ark of the Covenant, just a box of wood covered with gold, and on top are two angels known as the cherubim, and God was referred to as the one who sat between the cherubim. That was in the Old Testament period of time. But when Jesus came to this world, he says, I'm not here to abolish the Old Testament or the Old Covenant or the old way of doing things. I'm here to fulfill that covenant. And Jesus himself became our sacrifice, our offering to God. He took our sin, he took our guilt and shame, and offered that himself up to the Lord for our atonement of sin. And in return, he gave us a clear and clean conscience, a new way of living, and eternal hope, eternal life to be with God. And so he says now that the altar in Jerusalem that was built is no longer necessary, because the altar of the cross had come, the altar changes. And now you don't have to build an altar. You are the altar. You have become the place where God can meet. Jesus' name is God with us. His name is Emmanuel. If you read in the book of Genesis, you read about a man named Enoch. It says that he walked with God. And as I'm an English teacher, and I like to break down the grammar of sentences, it says that Enoch walked with God. The subject of that is Enoch. Enoch was the one who walked with God. But in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, the meaning is God with us. The subject changes to God. And now God is the one who has taken us by the hand and told us to come walk with me, to come follow me. And now God is walking with us. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the name of the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Para next to, cleat, walk, the one walking next to us. We are the altar. We are the place where God puts his spirit. We are the place where God meets the world. And we no longer have to build an altar of stone because God is building us as his altar. And so Hiroshi was preaching a few weeks ago about just when we build our altar to God, it's that we build it prayer by prayer, worship by worship, day by day. You build your altar to God when you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I'm going to worship you today. You can have an altar in your car when you're driving. Oh, well, most of us don't drive. When we're on the train, taking the on the streetcar, we have the altar right there on our in our seat, and we're saying, God, I worship you in this very streetcar. That's where our altar is. We build an altar when we go to our room and we close the door and we pray to the God who sees us in secret, and we lift up our worship to him day by day. We build our altar to him. Building is the word that we're focusing on today. We're building. We're not made. We're not complete. But it's a process that we're living through as we walk with the Lord. And so today, the scripture is taken there. And in verse 22, Paul says that we are a temple. And he's referring to the church that is being built together. Built together. I have it underlined there for you. What I'm doing this year in my sermon series is just basically translating Hiroshi's sermons to you. So I'm taking the easy way out, and I'm just basically listening to his sermons, both here at church and online. I'm studying them and just taking the nuggets of truth that he gives us and then regurgitating it out to you. So for those of you who go to the Japanese service, this will be the second time you hear it, and it will be the second language you hear it in. So God bless you for enduring that. But in his sermon, Hiroshi Sensei was talking about church, the word church, because we're building the church. And basically, church has two meanings. There is the local church, that is one of us here, that's here in Hiroshima. Hiroshima City, for those of you who don't know, has 50-plus churches, 50-plus Protestant churches. Did you know that? In a city of 1 million people, just over 1 million people, there are about 50 or so churches, averaging in size of, I don't know, maybe 30, maybe 15 to 30, yeah? A big one would be about 30, small one would be about 15 or so. And I think when I hear that number, that's a lot of churches. In fact, you know, for those of you, when you're walking around in a neighborhood in these small side streets, you know, you walk and suddenly you see a building and there's a cross on there, and you think, whoa, that's a church, you know, and you don't know what it was doing there, because the churches around here, they're just, you know, like this one, they're just in these neighborhoods. You know, you just walk around, you know, looking for a temple on a hill or something, and boom, here you are at a church, and yeah, that's the church. It's the local church where God meets his people. I heard somebody say they're having a good time of worship at one of the churches in Hiroshima, and say, yeah, man, I wish all the churches were like this. What are you talking about? All the churches are like this. This is God's church. And maybe they don't sing like we do. Maybe they don't have a band like we do. But they have the heart and the spirit of God living in them. And when they come together, they can pray together. They sing their old songs together. They sing their hymns. They have what we have. And they have a worship, a time of worship with God where God meets, where God spirit touches our spirit, and there's community and worship. That's one meaning, the local church. Considering we have 50 churches and about 1 million people, and the average size is less than 30, we need more. We need more churches. We need more missionaries. We need more workers. Jesus said The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. I'm so thankful for Stephanie, who has come to Japan from Germany just to come for a short time. Stephanie, we're praying for more like you, more and more people to come to Hiroshima, to come to Japan, not just short term, but for long term, to plant themselves and say, I'm here to do God's work, because we need more. We need more. For Ash, for those of you who are leaving, please come back and do God's work here. That's what we need. We need more missionaries. We need more of God's people for his kingdom. Then there's the local church, and then there's the worldwide universal church, the church that represents God's people, not only in Japan, but all around the world. Pastor Hiroshi mentioned last year they had a Deaf Christians International Conference, and it was hosted here. And Pastor Hiroshi had deaf members, deaf Christians from just this and that, Turkestan and something stan, and a lot of Eastern European countries, some from South America were coming. It was a mess. Someone would come up, and they're speaking in English sign language, and then the interpreter would speak in English, and then Pastor Hiroshi would translate the English into Japanese, and then the Japanese, somebody would listen to the Japanese, and they would translate into Japanese sign language, and then there was somebody who had to translate the Japanese sign language into international sign language. And you just saw, you know, all of this going on. There's like four or five people on the stage just going crazy. And it was just beautiful, beautiful, you know. Just Christians, people giving testimonies, and some deaf people were actually singing. As Bob came up here and he was singing, giving us a song, deaf people were coming up and they were singing worship songs, you know, with their sign language. It was just awesome. And the best part for me was when somebody would say hallelujah, because it doesn't matter what language it is, hallelujah is hallelujah. And even in Japanese, you know, I think it's hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, you could see, you know, the Eastern Europeans, the South Americans, the Japanese doing this, and it's, oh, hallelujah, you know. It was awesome. And Hiroshi said, you know, they were from different parts of the world, different countries, different languages, but it was the same God, and it was the same spirit, that same atmosphere of fellowship when he met with them. And I was like, yeah, that's the truth. One of my most exciting times in meeting in fellowship here, a long time ago, there's a church in Kure, or Hiro. There's lots of Brazilians in Hiro. There's actually a Brazilian church that meets there. And a few friends and I said, oh, let's go worship with the Brazilians. So we went over there. And they said, oh, it's good to meet you guys. There was one who spoke fluent Japanese and no English. He was a Brazilian. He was working here as a missionary. At that time, I had just come to Japan. I knew very little Japanese and no Portuguese at all. I couldn't speak Portuguese. And so the only way we were able to communicate was just the little bit of Japanese that I knew and the little bit of Japanese, or the Japanese that he knew. Just two guys from different parts of the world happened to be in the same place, and we're fellowshipping and we're talking about Jesus in this broken Japanese. And man, I never forget just God saying, you are home. You are talking to a brother in the Lord. And it's broken and it's you know, weird and messy, but this is your brother in Christ. And it was just one of the most powerful and encouraging experiences in my life here in Japan. And that's the other meaning of the word church. It's that global, universal church, the local church and the universal church. In the scriptures, we have, in this book, Ephesians, two images that Paul gives us of the church. We have two meanings of the word. We have two images of the word. And the image that we have here is of a building, the church as a building. The other image that we have, and I'm not going to get into it that much, is the image of a body. The church is a building, and it is a body. And as a body, the head of which is Christ Jesus, and we are just the other parts of that body. But Paul here is talking about the image of the church as a building. In the image of the body, the emphasis is on the unity of the church, different parts working together. But in the building of the church as a building, the emphasis is on the foundation of the church. When you come to church, this church has been here 40 years maybe. Is that right, Kevin? I don't know. The church was planted. Location 40 years maybe. Pastor Hiroshi's father was the one who planted this church. This building itself is only 10 plus years old. Yeah. And, you know, church buildings sprout up and they collapse. But when you come to a church that preaches the Word of God, that believes in the God of the Bible, you're coming to a church that maybe only stood here for a few years, but has a foundation that goes back to the prophets and the apostles. And if you have your Bibles open, it's mentioned there. In verse 19, we are the God's household, verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the prophet being Moses, the one who wrote those first five books of the Bible, gave us the picture of God and the story of humanity as it began. And then there's the prophets throughout the Old Testament that you can read through, all of whom point to one person and speak of one person, Jesus Christ. You can read from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi, and you will see Jesus Christ all throughout the Old Testament. The prophets themselves, from Moses to Malachi, point to Jesus Christ. The message is the same. God loves you. God created you with a plan and a purpose. And because of your sin and rebellion and disobedience, you cannot have fellowship with God. But God, in His great love and in His great mercy, wants to be with you and is willing to sacrifice His own Son and send His own Son to be our atonement for our sin. And our forgiveness and our relationship with God happens through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's all throughout Genesis through Malachi. You can read all throughout who He is right there. And that's the message of the prophets. Not only is it the message of the prophets, but it's the message of the apostles. Who are the apostles? Some people believe that there's apostles today. If you want to get technical, the apostles were those men who walked literally and talked literally with Jesus Christ. When Jesus was here and had His ministry for 3 years, He had those 12 disciples that He had with Him. He had a bunch more, but those 12 type group, and then the three, Peter, James, and John. But those people who saw Jesus actually healing people, saw Jesus actually touching people, saw Jesus freeing people from Satan, who ate with Jesus and slept alongside of Jesus, ministered with Jesus. Those are known as the apostles. Well, what about the Apostle Paul? He is the technicality. He is the exception. But not so, really, because he actually did meet Jesus. He met Jesus in that supernatural way on the road to Damascus. Boom, big light in the sky. And Jesus did, in the flesh, meet and speak with Paul. And so he is also considered an apostle. And their message is the exact same as the message of the prophets. That is, Jesus Christ came into our life to heal us from our brokenness, to free us from our bondage to sin, and to send us on our way to proclaim the message of that healing and forgiveness to all the world. That's the message of the apostles. And you know what? The methods may change. The church itself gets one building, tears it down, it puts a new one. We have hymns one day, we have a band the next day. We're putting out things on the internet, we have blogs, this, that, and the other. Methods come and they go, we do the PowerPoint. Doesn't matter, because the message will always be the same. This is the building of the church that is built on the message that Jesus Christ came to save your life. From the prophets to the apostles, and that's the foundation. And so we're not preaching anything new. We're not preaching anything, out of left field. Everything that we're going to preach comes from this. And you have all authority. If I ever start preaching something crazy or stupid, you have all the right to stop listening to me and go to another church. You do. Paul said it in Galatians, if I ever stop preaching the truth of the gospel, then you can stop listening to me. If I ever start preaching something like, Jesus, he is a way, but not, there's other ways to God, you can stop listening to me. If I ever start saying something like, yes, God wants you to live right. He wants you to live holy, but, it's okay if your boyfriend or girlfriend's not Christian. We understand. Don't ever let me preach that. If I ever start preaching something like, God wants you to be honest and have integrity in your work, but if you have to cancel your contract early on, or if you want to have another job on the side, even though it's against your contract, I understand. You have to do what you have to do. If I ever start allowing you to do that, stop listening to me. God is a holy God, and he demands righteousness from his people because it is his building. It is his church where his spirit will dwell. Okay, a few practical applications for building the church, which is us, building the church. And I want to just look at verse 22. It says, built together. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his spirit. What does it mean to be built together? Well, interestingly, if you look at verse 21, there's a term there that is similar to built together. It's joined together. Paul himself was a Jew, and in Judaism, in Hebrew, the language of Judaism, there is a technique known as parallelism. Basically, it means I'm going to repeat myself, and you know that I do that all the time. I'll say one thing, and then I'll just say the exact same thing the next minute. I like to repeat myself, and it just goes all the way back to what they do in the Bible, is they repeat themselves. And Paul gives a statement in verse 21 that the church is the whole building and that it is joined together, which rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And the parallel to verse 21 is verse 22. So if you want to understand what verse 22 is saying, take a good look at verse 21. They're the same things being said in a little bit different ways. We're being built together. It means we're being joined together. We're being connected together. And what does that mean? It means this. We are not a church when we are not together. We are not a church when we are not praying together. We are not a church when we don't study together. We are not a church when we are not working together. We are not a church when we refuse to forgive each other. We are not a church when we want to push each other away and not spend any time with each other. This is all I want to say this morning, is that God wants us to be together. And that is what a church is. Oh, but Chris, I'm here. You're preaching to the choir. I know what it means. We have to be together. And I'm here, aren't I? Well, you're here today. But if I know the church, people leave because one day, one week, we're trying to do something for God. We're trying to do some kind of ministry, and we have a disagreement. Your way of doing it is different from my way. My idea of this ministry is different from your idea of this ministry. The way you talk just gets on my nerves. And so we have this magical gift, this ability to just really get on each other's nerves, just really annoy each other. That's church. And it gets so bad that some people want to go. It gets so bad some people don't want to stay for worship. Gets so bad that people can't even come for the whole service. It gets so bad that people just want to find another church. Well, there's 49 other churches in the city. I might as well go find me one that fits me. That is not church. That is being selfish and childish and demonic. It is the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is the devil who wants to divide his God's people. It is demonic. Because God wants us to be joined together. And so the last thing I want to say is, how do we do that? I don't know. Okay, it's very practical, but there's no simple answer. But Hiroshi Sensei pointed out in Ephesians chapter 4, you can flip the page in your Bible. It says right there in verse 23, talking about how the church can be built together. Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Pastor Hiroshi was saying, we don't grow as individuals if the church does not grow. And the church does not grow if we're not growing as individuals. But the opposite of that, I guess, was saying that as the church grows collectively, we individually will grow. In other words, we got to grow up. We hurt each other. We say these things to each other. We have these ideas about each other. But we need to grow up and move past those things. You've been in those situations. You know, just look at our families. I was watching a TV drama, and they're just talking about, the daughter said something to the dad. The dad was trying to help out the daughter with raising her kids, and they get in a big fight. And it's this big dramatic thing on TV. And I said, man, that's like every family. If you want drama, you just look at every family in the world, and there you got instant drama. And you've been in that situation. Somebody says something in your family that just pushes that right button. And there's a big hustle and a big huff and what have you, back and forth. But what happens to fix that? Somebody decided, all right, I'm going to humble myself. And usually it's the mature one. The mature one. The one who's big enough to say, okay, I am sorry. What I said was a mistake. I should not have done what I've done. I did. And he humbles himself. He or she humbles himself and is the first one to make the apology and to set it right. And then one person says, but you said this and but you did that. And then the guy says, all right, you know what? I'm gonna from now on, I'm going to change. I'm going to do my best to be different. And he makes every effort, every argument he can to bring together the family again, because it's not a family if we're all living apart. Be completely humble and gentle. That's how we're going to be joined together and built together. I want to encourage you, if you've been discouraged about ministry, about church, if you've been hurt by somebody at church, if you've been disappointed by a pastor or a leader or even another member in a small group or a care group, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're doing our best. We're working hard, and we're all busy people. I understand that. So let's humble ourselves before God and before each other and make every effort. Excuse me, I have one more thing. I just got to say this one more thing. Also, we're not a church if we're not fellowshipping together. I've been saying it recently, and I think I'm going to keep on saying it. After I pray the benediction prayer, and I release you, everyone, to go, I say, it's not over. And I mean, church is not over. We have worship time. We have testimony time. We have prayer time, offering time, time in the Word. But then it's not over. The service is over, but church is not over, because we have fellowship time downstairs. And I want to encourage you, even if you have to start this year, if it's going to be new for you, spend time in fellowship. Don't leave early. I know, it's a long day. Some of you have been here since the morning service. And you've got shopping to do, you've got laundry to do, you've got work tomorrow, and you're tired. Some of you have come, one of our technical people, they're coming from Okayama every Sunday. Not the English service, but they come from far away. I understand. It's a busy life, and we're busy people. But we are not a church if we're not fellowshipping together. And so take time to invest in each other, to spend time with one another, because we're not a church if we're not joined together in fellowship. That's all I want to say about that. My hope is God increases this fellowship. I'm so encouraged by the people who are here today. And my hope is that God really does great things this year in this English service. I pray for more, Lord. I ask for more. And it will be to His glory. Shall we pray together? I want to ask the worship team to come on up. Just before you pray, I'd like you to reflect on somebody you want to forgive, need to forgive. Please reflect on your work here at church. If you're not doing work, is there a work you can do for your church? Let me pray. Father, we ask you to lead us, guide us, use us in your ministry. Father, there are 50 churches here. Lord, establish your kingdom here in this city. Do more, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, for those here who have bitterness or anger towards somebody in this body, I pray for forgiveness and healing and humility. Father, for those here who don't seem to have anything to do, I pray for ministry. I pray for leadership and guidance, Lord, so that your church can be built together. I pray for those here who have difficulty with fellowship and just can't get a conversation going. Father, I pray for a spirit of openness and friendliness and warmth to fill us, Lord, so that we can be fellowshipping together as you have for us, Lord. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.